gotta warm up, you know. I need to be warm.
It's 12:30. You've been out of bed for 3.5 hours. You should be warmed up. You should come to the podcast warmed up.
What'd you have for breakfast?
I didn't eat breakfast, and I haven't eaten lunch.
Oh my god.
Actually, I had a nice tall glass of ice water.
Nice.
Put some ice in a glass and then put some tap water on it and then just let it like get cold and then I drank it. It was pretty good.
Wow.
It's like 90% humidity. So.
Yeah, it's pretty gross outside.
Yeah. It is. I love having my air conditioner off so that I can podcast without a dull drone in the background. My favorite thing to do right now here in this moment.
Yeah, just sitting here, I'm sweaty. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. What time do you go to bed? Let's get into it. This is the sleepy time episode.
Last night,
putting people to sleep in general. Let's just.
Yeah, I mean it can go from in bed anywhere between 10:30 and midnight, you know, and then asleep anywhere between 11:30 and 1, maybe. Yeah. Is that?
Yeah, those are. Yeah, I think those are fine bedtimes, I guess.
Yeah. I'll just start it up. Hey. And welcome to Heads Up with Jeff and Sean. I'm Jeff.
I'm Sean.
Wow. On this podcast, we do three things. The third thing, we'll figure it out. The second thing is usually about movies, and the first thing is about animals.
Well, now it's time to get online through our internet service provider. It'll be cool. Here we go.
John, have you ever heard of a mole snake?
Nope. I'll look it up right now, though, so I can have things to say about it. Okay, I mean, you didn't have to be quiet while I did that. I thought you'd fill it in with, like, well, the mole snake is, but then you didn't. And that's...
Yeah.
Some good dead air. Looks like they live in southern Africa.
Mm-hmm.
The entirety of their range. I see that from a little map on Wikipedia. 6 feet long.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah. It has a firm tubular body. Okay. All right. I mean, it's a snake, right? So are there snakes that don't?
They have firm tubular bodies? I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe we'll find one, but... It's not venomous.
Lives off of golden moles.
Is that right? Oh, is that why it's called the mole snake?
And jeez. Other small mammals. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, all right. So the first time someone saw it, it was eating a mole, and they were like, "Oh, yeah. that's what it eats. It only eats moles. It's a mole snake." Done. Grant money, please.
Yeah. If they had saw it eating an egg, they would have called it an egg snake.
Yeah. I graciously accept tenure now.
Please, give me all the grants.
I'll spend them all watching it have sex. And that will be the most research done on it.
You know, I really should read these articles beforehand and figure out some of these words.
No, I think in the moment is good. It's like going to the Olympics and trying to pole vault, having never done that before. But you've seen people do it, so you get it.
Yeah, I get it. I've been speaking English for a pretty long time, so...
Yeah.
I probably got this. It says they are... viviparous? Under reproduction?
Viviparous, I believe.
Viviparous, yeah.
I might be wrong. Here, I'll just have the internet tell me. Viviparous.
Dang.
Is what a pretty effeminate sounding male voice just told me by clicking this little button. And that's, you know.
Yeah.
That's not necessary for the listeners to know, but I thought it would add a little color.
Bringing forth live young that have developed inside the body of the parent. Oh, yep. Okay.
That's what viviparous means. Yeah.
I had no idea. I learned so much over here. Have we covered a snake yet that doesn't give birth to live young?
Who knows? I don't know. I don't listen to the episodes. We've been over that, too. So it's impossible for me to know, because I don't remember either. 25 and 50 young with as many as 95 possible.
That's disgusting.
It is. And then I guess they just squirm around or whatever, and then they leave. This is, for the record, this is the shortest Wikipedia entry on reproduction I've ever seen for an animal, period. It's two sentences long.
Yeah, it must not be very interesting, you know? but can you imagine? All right, so there's at least two snakes in the area. You know, they get it on. And then the female snake will just shoot out as many as 95 snakes.
I mean, probably not right away, but yeah.
I can't imagine more than five snakes being anywhere in an area near me, but there's a chance that there are like 100 snakes near me at any given time, because how far can those snakes go in their life?
Snakes are what? They're like a big spine with ribs covered in muscles.
Yeah.
Just like slither along the ground.
Yeah. It's going to take a while to get anywhere. Feasibly, you know, far enough away. It's not. I don't picture snakes as being like herd animals or like in groups. I always picture them as solo creatures.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you don't really think of like snake swarms unless it's like an Indiana Jones movie.
Right, right. And those, I always think like the snakes that come out in the tombs or things like that were put there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think of it like a naturally occurring thing of like 10,000 snakes just filling up a room, you know what I mean, on their own.
Yeah, that's a good point.
None of them seemed like they were working together in any of the Indiana Jones movies, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't see any banners up like, they, you know, this was their faction. Yeah, right. I agree.
Yeah, they weren't looking, you know, they weren't looking for anything in particular. They didn't seem to all be the same snake type, so when you get like 95 of them in your everyday life, I mean, they got to spread out. So I would imagine the first year of life is they all pick a direction and just go.
Yeah, they sort of radiate from their point of birth.
Yeah.
Probably. Maybe not.
So you can't hear others slithering around in grass, and you're like, all right, this is probably good.
Well, I mean, so let's see. The mother's like 6.5 feet long, so they're pretty big, and the babies are like 8 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got predators, which is why they're giving, you know, they don't like have houses like people do. So they got to like watch, you know, keep their head on a swivel.
They're not venomous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the most it says is that it can be, quote, quite ferocious and cause severe bite wounds.
That can be said about almost anything, though.
That's like pretty much any animal. Yeah. With like a mouth and teeth. Sure. Yeah. Even some that don't. But
this one in particular, very ferocious.
Apparently. Yeah. Or maybe not. Who knows?
It must have a lot of predators, because with that many snakes per birth, not making it out of southern Africa, it's going to be, the survival rate is going to be small.
Maybe just like that northern line where they stop, there's just like a row of animals that are, oh, it's almost snake mating season. We're going to fucking gorge ourselves.
Oh, and yeah.
Every fucking snake that crawls over this line.
Yeah, because it doesn't look like it's not like a, at least doesn't look like an official government thing, because it looks like it goes over a few different countries and stops like halfway between one, you know what I mean? It's not like one country is keeping out the snakes down there.
Yeah, I guess. I didn't think it was people like stomping the snakes. Like,
oh, I know. I was just saying like it couldn't be the way it's the map is drawn out with the distribution of the mole snake.
Yeah. Maybe they have treaties with other snakes. We'll have to look up other maps of snake. There's just, like, very specific areas they have.
Yeah. They have their territory.
It's snake drawn nations. Out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you see in, like, Indiana Jones, all those snakes are outcasts. Mm-hmm. And they're not allowed to carry, you know, heraldry. They can't have their own symbols. Or the snake nations will destroy them. And, you know, their lives are relegated to mixing with other snake types in ruins.
Yeah.
Other places other snakes don't want to go. They kind of live on the edge.
They're in Hollywood now. You see them smoking cigarettes and shit.
Oh, yeah. Actually, probably they all are exiled and they ended up in Hollywood. That's how they show up in the internet. Those are all snake actors. Yeah, that's a good point, because I guess Indiana Jones, you know, didn't actually go to cursed ruins. It's all Hollywood magic. I forget that sometimes.
Well, that's the beauty of cinema, Sean. You know, it takes you to another world, you know?
The snake kind of sucks, yeah. No offense. It's not poisonous. It doesn't look like it strangles people. Mm-hmm. It's just big, and it can bite hard, like anything with a mouth.
It goes after small rodents.
Yeah, which is nice, but like,
mm-hmm.
That's also anything bigger than a rodent's.
It doesn't really have its own niche, you know?
Yeah.
Just out here being a snake.
Most snakes live in the abandoned burrows of other animals. So these are kind of squatters. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're exercising squatters' rights, you know? Is it because they couldn't? Like they don't know how to burrow, or it's just like they're lazy?
That's a great question. I mean, they're pretty big when they're adult, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know, what burrows do they live in? It just says other animals, but if they eat small rodents, I can't imagine the rodents are making big enough tunnels for snakes to enter. That's a design flaw. That's a pretty big design flaw if they are, but...
Yeah, because I would assume, just like any other snake, it's eating its prey whole.
Yeah, but I don't see anything really... doesn't mention that, and it doesn't say, like, oh, no... coils them up and crushes them first.
Yeah. But I don't think I could live in the same house as something I could swallow whole.
First of all, you do. Your house, everyone's house has insects and spiders in it. You swallow those whole.
They didn't make the house, okay.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But again, so humans built that house. And they made it big enough for insects to live in. So, I don't know.
It's the exact opposite we're saying, though. You know what I mean?
I don't. I'm not thinking about what I'm saying. I frequently don't. It's easier.
An elephant wouldn't be comfortable in my house.
That's true. But then again, we do have the expression, the elephant in the room. So at some point, it's possible that an elephant could be living in a human house.
Which means to say something obvious because it's not supposed to be there, and something uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. But it could. I'm just saying it could. Right? It doesn't, this doesn't say, like, mm-hmm. the snake is super comfortable in other creatures' burrows. It just says it lives there. So, like, maybe these little mammals are, like, they have a saying called the mole snake in the room.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Dang. Okay.
I'm just saying. Also, I like the world we're inventing for these little rodents much more than I am for these boring snakes.
It's the year of the snake, okay? The year of the snake.
Also, no, I understand. It also says the mole snake is a nest predator of this specific species of bird, the spotted Prinia.
Oh. So it'll attack the nest?
It does not give me a link to nest predator, which is the easiest way for me to answer that question. So I don't know. But I'm assuming it's like, yeah, like they just creep into the nest and eat all the bird eggs.
And yet it won't live in that nest.
That's a good point. Yeah. Let me brush up on how big this bird is. I don't think this bird is like 6 feet tall. So maybe the nest just isn't big enough, you know?
Yeah. Not as spacious as a golden mole's den.
No, of course not. Okay, so the spotted Prinia, also known as the Karoo Prinia, is like 5 to almost 6 inches long.
Wow. Okay, I think you could take it.
But I mean, so the nest it's building is definitely not big enough for
the
mole snake. That's why he doesn't live there. That's all.
Mm.
Oh, hey, great! I wish. Oh man. Next year might be the year of the bird if more Wikipedia pages do this. I'll just read the sentence.
Okay.
So, the calls of this species include a sharp chleet, 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 and a fast, buzzy tit, 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 tit. So, they just type out in italics what the... And I assume I did it flawlessly, just reading through. They didn't give me any other notes.
Oh, that was you? I thought you had played the played an audio clip. No,
no, wow. that was, yeah, yeah. Wow. That description was so good.
Yeah, they need to sound out more animal sounds on Wikipedia.
I think we found a new project. We're quitting the podcast to become Wikipedia noise editors.
I tried to find more information on the snake by going to a different website, but this other website is literally, it looks copied and pasted from Wikipedia.
So, first of all, Jeff, we call that academic research, what you just did. And thank you. But yeah, I don't think that the snake is just kind of...
just kind of there. No one's interested in the snake.
Yeah. There's probably some dope shit about the snake, but they were just like, yep, big snake, check, done. I saw it in a nest eating bird eggs once, so it's just... we'll specifically say it's a nest predator of the Karoo prinia, which does, in fact, make a chleet, 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 chleet noise. Juveniles were observed eating clicking steam frogs.
The fuck is a clicking steam frog?
I don't know, but that sounds cooler than this dipshit snake, doesn't it?
It seems like it's going to look cool. No, it doesn't.
It looks like a frog.
Yeah.
Gray's stream frog is locally common where conditions are favorable. Okay, that's again every animal.
Yeah.
I get why people don't trust science now.
It's fine. Yeah, it's...
And I know this is Wikipedia and not science, but this comes from... this is all cited. It's just...
You know, it's hard. You know, they spend a lot of time dumbing science down so that people would be able to digest it and understand it. And they went too far and they can't go back.
I think we need more barriers to science. I think it needs to be a more exclusive club.
I mean, maybe it's me, but I mean, the Gray Stream Frog's Wikipedia page is, I would say, almost smaller than the Mole Snake's Wikipedia page.
The Mole Snake has more sections, but Gray's Stream Frog has, like, the description, the range and habitat, habits, and references. Like, it is much...
but we have no idea how it breeds, how it has, you know, reproduces. We have no idea.
Breeding takes place in almost any shallow vegetated body of water, but it doesn't describe how it takes place, which you know the scientists love to do, so. This one, the frog also, it describes what its voice is like, but it does not give me italics to read to mimic the sound, so.
What a waste.
A waste. I'm closing that page. Well, that's the mole snake. Are we going to fix it now?
I think someone should. I mean...
oh, definitely God did a bad job. He did a bad job on a lot of these animals. We got to fix them.
Oh, yeah.
This one's particularly egregious. This is like his first go at snake. He's like, I don't know about eggs, but it's like just like a big tube. It's just like a big tube. How's that?
But it's like a firm tube, you know?
Yeah,
like-
yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's got a firm tubular body, and then there's like an angel watching him who's like making his way towards the door. Like, I don't want to hear this, man. I've heard him go on about firm tubular bodies before. This is awful.
He's been obsessed with this for a millennia, firm tubes. It's like, Jesus. Yeah, I mean, let's see. I'd love to see it just take up all of Africa, and not just say in the southern parts, you know?
If we're going to widen its range, we got to cut down on the number that it apparently just dumps out when it gives birth.
Right. I would say 10.
Well, yeah.
I would say 10.
Yeah,
no, I was more, say no we're... less every time.
Oh, 10. I was going to cap it at 10, but okay, 10 every time.
Yeah.
Now, when it gives birth to 10, are some, like, already earmarked for... predators? Like,
this may just be the mammal in me, but what do those little snakes eat when they get out? It's not like reptiles have nipples. I don't think we've never come across it. I would assume nipple is a mammal thing. Is that right?
I mean, I would have assumed all snakes dump eggs somewhere, but they don't.
Yeah.
So who knows? I'm not going to say one way or the other. Maybe we'll give... Hey, Jeff, there you go. Let's give the snake nipples.
10 nipples for each snake baby.
10 for each or 1 for each for a total of 10?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing about language is, you know, it's wonderful. And the more specific you can be, the better it is to communicate. So I appreciate that.
Hey, I just wanted to make sure because I didn't know if these things were like docking with 10 ports on the parent. Yeah. And just like... It takes like 30 seconds for them to fucking tank up on, I guess, snake milk.
Right. Snake milk. It's going to become a delicacy.
Actually, so here's the thing, though. I kind of like that idea now. I think it should have 100 nipples. And I think the baby snakes, when they come out, they just dock up. And they just fill themselves up with delicious, delicious snake milk.
Yeah. They latch on. That way the mother can be on the move.
Yeah.
If she needs to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're kind of making like a little makeshift hydra. Because if the snake gets into trouble, it's got a bunch of little babies that rear up. How long do they stay with the mother?
Oh, I mean, if they're getting that sweet, sweet snake milk, I would probably say... I want to say up to a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not attached that whole time, right? Like they undock. No. And go explore on their own, and then they come back.
Yeah, they learn other snake traits, like finding burrows. And I don't know if they were already born with teeth, but maybe this time they're just gumming it up for the first year. And when they get teeth, that's when they leave.
Okay. Do they need teeth, though?
I think because they don't have hands, so I think when they bite something, they get a grab and kind of pull.
They probably got strong jaws, I guess. I mean, they can have teeth. That's fine, but...
All right, one tooth. They can have one tooth.
What about... That doesn't help at all. What about this?
Yeah.
Okay, when they're born, they basically have a full set of, like, human teeth. And then as they age, those fall out.
Yeah.
Those fall out, and then they grow in fangs. So when they have human teeth, they can, like, eat, like, some vegetation, small rodents.
Yeah.
Other small snakes, I guess.
Yeah, they're really good at clamping onto those nipples. That's why the mother has to have so many, because it already has teeth.
Well, so
some of them get ruined. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I didn't think that they have ports, right? Just like on their bodies. I wasn't, because if there's 10 nipples, then I don't think this snake has 10 mouths.
True.
I just think they have like a little... like milk acquisition holes on their side, and they lose those. Those get filled in as they age.
All right. So they dock like spaceships.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah. Okay. They're docking. They've got a full set of human baby teeth that they lose, and then fangs grow. It's pretty good.
Yeah, the snake slaps now. That's a term that kids use to mean cool. The snake is on fleek.
You know, sometimes I forget you work in a college, you know, but every once in a while.
You know, just gotta stay hip with the lingo. Yeah, I mean, I think this helps everybody, right? Like, humans can also, now we can milk them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that milk is venomous, but I guess that means it wouldn't curdle, maybe? It's milk that doesn't curdle.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find a use for it. Yeah.
Snake cheese is probably fucking tight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Has a bite to it, you know?
And you can catch the young ones to replace teeth.
Yeah. I bet, you know, maybe there's a lot of young kids where these snakes live that will catch a baby or find baby snake teeth and try to use them to have the tooth fairy give them money.
There you go. Look at that.
Yeah. Perfect. I mean, this snake is it's pretty great.
It's pretty great now.
Yeah, it's not often you come up with an improvement a species and create a new type of cheese.
Yeah,
it's
just we're really good doing the big guy's job for him, basically. But what's next? We're done with this section. We can't fix this snake more. You don't want to overtune a snake, you know?
No, it's the delicate balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just give it a bunch of nipples and make cheese out of it and human teeth. Like, it's not, you know.
How hard is this?
Yeah. I mean, well, we make it look easy. We make it look pretty easy. Sure.
Yeah. John, did you ever see the movie Twister?
It's about tornadoes. And it's got that lady in it from the TV show with the guy who was in Alien.
It's got Helen Hunt from Mad About You, whose TV husband was Paul Reiser. Yeah.
But then he was an alien?
No, Bill Paxton was an alien.
Right. Are they this I don't know. Are they the same man?
No.
Okay. Do they look similar?
No.
I feel like Paul Reiser was in an alien movie. I didn't know his name, but I'll look it up. You don't worry about it.
He might be. I mean, technically the movie is more of Helen Hunt's story, you know.
Twister or Alien?
Twister, yeah.
Now I'm confused. He was in Aliens. Okay.
Paul Reiser, yeah.
Paul Reiser.
Bill Paxton was not in any Alien movie, is that right?
I don't know. The important thing is that I was right about a movie thing. Okay. What about Twister though? This is about Helen Hunt's journey.
Yeah.
She falls in love with the tornado.
I mean, she gets obsessed with like a certain class of tornado. She was traumatized by it because it sucked her father up when they were in the little shelter they took.
Okay.
And then...
Sorry, I got it backwards. So a tornado killed her father and she's up for revenge. Okay.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. So, you know, she used to be married to Bill Paxton, and he comes back to try to get her to sign the divorce papers so he can marry this other girl.
And the divorce papers get sucked up in a tornado.
Yeah.
That sounds like a better movie already. I'm sorry. Is the woman that Bill Paxton is trying to marry the character played by Cary Elwes?
No, it's...
All right.
No, I think it's Jamie Gertz, Dr. Melissa Reeves.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. She's a therapist, so they make some jokes about therapy in this movie, which hold up.
Yeah, no, that sounds important to know. So Bill Paxton wants to divorce Helen Hunt, but she's on tornado hunts.
Yeah, well, they both used to be storm chasers, but now he's going to go be a weatherman. Mm-hmm. But when he goes to find her, it's like, you know, an amazing storm season in Tornado Alley. So it's big time for these tornadoes. And so she's got her group of storm chasers and then a rival group of storm chasers with a friend of theirs who used to be there that's always following them around because they always know where the tornadoes are because Bill Paxton's some sort of tornado whisperer. Like he picks up dirt and looks at like the clouds and flags in the air.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like it should be his story, but all right.
Yeah. Well, he eventually falls back in love with Helen Hunt by ignoring the woman he's promised to marry.
But all right. Yeah. Yeah. This definitely does sound more like his story.
Yeah. Well, he gets pulled back in because the Helen Hunt's group of storm chasers have finally created his idea of a bucket with a bunch of ball sensors in it. That they're going to have get sucked up by their tornado, and so they can more accurately measure tornadoes and get more accurate and longer lead times for tornado warnings so that, you know, what happened to Helen Hunt when she was a kid doesn't happen to other people. You know, they get no warning.
Okay. I guess it is kind of their story, yeah. She wants to foil the plot of these tornadoes by detecting them early enough so that no one else gets sucked up into the sky.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
It's kind of fucked up. I mean, like, the tornado kind of raptured her dad. Like, that's cool, it was, right? Yeah. He, like, went straight to heaven. She's not happy about that? Is that what tornadoes are? Are tornadoes angels that bring people straight to heaven, Jeff? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know whether.
The rapture happens much more slowly than we thought. So that's why Tornado Alley is in the Bible Belt. You know, it's sucking up.
We're getting good ideas. Jokes.
Yeah.
Already. What else? Is there anything else? I feel like I don't need to know anything else.
Not really. I mean, you know, it takes another one of her family members. She works through her trauma, and then they, you know, then they're making out at the end, and everyone in their group is happy.
Well, except for the...
Well, she had already... She decided to leave at the beginning of Act 3, his oh, okay. fiance, yeah. Because, you know, he's like, obsessed and with the tornadoes, and she feels like an outcast. But they needed her in the first two acts to introduce everybody and what's going on without, you know...
Yeah, no, you needed someone who's not, yeah, a tornado yeah. scientist. To she's the audience insert.
Yeah, and then they're like, well, fuck her, who cares?
Okay. Feels like yeah. a missed opportunity to have her, you know, raptured, but...
Yeah, she could have died, but then it would be a harder turn when he's just like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll just go back to Helen Hunt then. To be like, yeah, my fiance just died, let's just... How about me and you hook up?
But, yeah. I mean, he could have made that decision, and then she gets killed by a tornado, right? Like, just to make a clean exit.
Oh, my God. What if he's subconsciously controlling their tornadoes?
That's another great idea. And he knows that his true love is Helen Hunt, so... he gets pulled... Yeah. These crazy tornadoes start happening to bring him back in.
Yeah.
What's Cary Elwes doing? Because he's in the other movie.
The
sword fighting movie with Andre the Giant.
Oh, The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, yeah, what's up?
He's with him? He used to be buddies with Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton, but now he went corporate and got big sponsors. So he's got the fancy storm chasers, but they're no good at finding tornadoes, and they stole his idea for the bucket with the sensors in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
And so, but he doesn't have, like, the sense for where the tornadoes are landing or the balls to get in front of the tornado and drop it off. Although, he does get sucked up by a tornado.
He does?
Yeah, whole crew does, I believe, at the end, because there's finally an F5, the giant tornado that took Helen Hunt's dad. And, she was the only one to see one in person before. And they're trying to warn him that it's going to, like, turn, because Bill Paxton's really good at, like, judging the tornado, and he's like, yeah, yeah, giving me fake information, and then it turns and sucks their whole caravan up.
Okay. So Cary Elwes he's the weather scientist, but he doesn't have the tornado shining like Bill Paxton.
Right, yeah.
But I guess maybe he's deemed worthy. Him and his crew are deemed worthy because they actually build the holy bucket, and so they all get raptured. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm glad I asked. Yeah. And one last thing, there's an actor here named Joey Slotnick, whose face I recognize,
yeah,
but who doesn't look like a good actor.
Yeah, he's in a lot of shit. I think he was in John Dies at the End.
Okay. So, like, I'm gonna know.
I know. I'm trying to, because he's like a big character actor.
So he's in a lot of movie. Shit. He was in a movie called Tuna. In 2013. So that's...
I'm on IMDb enough. You'd think I'd learn how to use it better.
You can, like, just right-click his name. Well, you might be on an Apple.
You might remember him from Murphy Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big Brown head. So probably I remember him from Murphy Brown. If there's one thing everybody knows about me, it's how much I like Murphy Brown.
I'd bring up Boston Legal, but we know Kyle doesn't listen to this, so fuck that.
Yeah, fuck Boston Legal. It's a piece of shit show. Fucking terrible.
Yeah, Blast from the Past. Ellen.
I might actually know him from an episode of The Nanny, because he used to play that in the gym. Back when I went places outside.
Yeah.
So.
He does have a pretty, pretty recognizable face.
Yeah, I don't like it, though, I think was the point I was trying to make.
You don't like it.
Like, I knew the face, but it was just, I saw it, and I was just like, eh, this guy.
Everyone, you know, I mean, they gotta live their lives, but Sean Wayland also does not have a great face. It's also very recognizable.
Yeah, I think I remember him from Murphy Brown. my favorite TV show.
But as far as I know, in my limited life research, I don't remember a sequel to Twister, which at the end they have all this data they're going to do. They're going to get more grants. So, I mean, they're going to start their own little, I guess, tornado company. I don't
yeah, I mean, they're
going to hunt down tornadoes.
Yeah, they're going to get a bunch of grants and spend it on studying how tornadoes have sex. I mean, that's the scientist thing to do. Okay. Well, I mean, definitely probably a direct sequel, right? Like, mm-hmm. what do they learn about these tornadoes?
Yeah. And can we change the T to a 2 in the poster?
So it's like two-wister. Yeah, I like that. Well, I don't like it, but I accept it, yeah. I guess. It's important to be precise with language. So.
And just putting it out there, the E is going to be a 3 for the third one, so.
If there's a third one, let's. Actually, I think the W should be a 3, and in the logo it spins around like a tornado.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
It could still be the E, and we could just spin that like a tornado. But whatever it is, it spins like a tornado.
That can be for the sixth installment, where it's 2 F5 tornadoes, and they call them sisters, you know? And they always show up at the same time, twist around each other.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Just kind of really putting it all out there on the line when we haven't even come up with the plot for Twister. Can we get Philip Seymour Hoffman in? I'd love to see him on the big screen again, Jeff.
It's been too long. What's going on with him, you know? He played like such a fucking 90s bro, but a weird 90s bro. You know what I mean? He was very touchy and...
I don't. No, weird. I don't really remember him from things.
He had goggles. It's just...
I definitely didn't see him in this movie. I mean, I saw this movie once on TV, probably like 20 years ago.
All right. Well, okay. Twister 2. Okay. Obviously, someone has to be in charge of the research and the modeling for that, and someone has to be in control of the lab. So that's Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt. Let's get him out of the field for Twister 2. Let's make him admirals, basically. You know what I mean?
I don't know at all what you mean by admirals of twisters, but I do think they're out of the field. I think the invention of the bucketball detector thing means that you don't need people to be out in the field to catch twisters. Like, I think like maybe whatever place this is, like some department of the government or a private corporate, just puts buckets places. Mm-hmm. They just like leave buckets out there with little sensor balls on them. And if a bucket gets picked up, they go, that's probably a twister. We don't need people. Yeah, look at it go. All the numbers just went up.
You know? And let's say since Helen Hunt was really into tornadoes and Bill Paxton was trying to get out in Twister 1, let's say that Bill Paxton's now really into the lab and the tornadoes, and Helen Hunt wants out because, you know, she needs to be out in the field. You know, she needs to be putting her life in danger. Really switch those roles there. And then...
Yeah, what if she's just, like, an adrenaline junkie?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even, like a tornado. Maybe she's forbidden from going out there because she's messed up with the buckets. Yeah. So she's just, like, she's like a... I don't know. What do adrenaline junkies do?
Oh, she's going to put herself in all kinds of danger just to get a feel. So
she skydives.
Yeah.
It'll come up later when they have to dive into the center of the tornado.
So let's see, they're out in the field. So we got to put somebody else in charge of, like, the caravan. So I want to say... Joey Slotnick, or we can't do Philip Seymour Hoffman, I guess, because he died, but, you know, maybe we open up on his funeral?
That's
for grim. Dusty?
That's grim.
Well, that's what you do when you kill an important character off. You have to kill an important character off because the actor died. You know? You gotta address it in the movie.
We have a tried and true way to get people out of this movie. We do a CGI flashback where he gets fucking raptured. Or just like the truck gets raptured that he's in. We didn't even have to show him. That'll save on money.
Yeah.
We're going to make this real cheap.
Yeah, you see him driving in a truck that's just cut footage from the first one. And then the truck raptured.
And someone goes like, oh no, he was in that truck.
uh, just if Twister was made today, there would have to be either a sci-fi. There'd have to be a sci-fi element, or else it wouldn't get greenlit.
The device would be to destroy the tornado before it destroys houses. That, I'm not kidding. I genuinely believe the thing would be. Yeah. I've invented a bucket ball to destroy tornadoes when they form, and like that's they would have to go chase the storm and try to find out how they can get in front of it to put the bucket in its way to destroy the tornado. That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
What if they find out that Carrie Elwes, I don't know how to say his last name.
I say Elwes. I don't know how it's, I don't really care.
Carrie Elwes' character didn't die when he got sucked up, his truck got sucked up to the tornado, then smashed on the ground and blew up. Jeff, but, yeah.
You're predicting what I wanted to be the after credit scene for this movie where a truck lands somewhere in a desert, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then the door opens, and Philip Seymour Hoffman steps out. And then the passenger door opens, and it's Helen Hunt's dad. They're back from heaven.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I was gonna make Carrie Elwes a supervillain who is either capturing tornadoes from the future or the past and bringing them to present day to try to kill Helen Hunt.
This is like Twister 4 or 5, though, when we jumped it. Like, Twister 2, yeah, like you're so jumping the shark, like, right off the bat.
I know. I can't help it.
Like, you just need a solid, we gotta prove that this should have a third movie first.
Okay. All right. So they're in the lab. Philip Seymour Hoffman gets sucked up by a tornado. Post-credit scene, he comes back down in the truck with his dad, with Helen Hunt's dad.
Yeah, not his dad. Who gives a shit about his dad? This is a movie about people raptured by tornadoes.
So how does Twister 2 actually go? Where's the conflict? How does it end?
I think maybe because Helen Hunt is an adrenaline junkie now, she's more distant from Bill Paxton. So the other lady is back in the picture now.
Because he had to go to therapy, and the only therapist his local HMO would cover was her.
Great. Perfect. That's perfect.
He walks in because he doesn't know the name of the doctor.
No, he doesn't know. Oh, she's remarried. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. She's married someone else. Yeah.
Oof.
Is there, Oh, what if she remarried and it's Carrie Elwes' twin brother?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that.
So there's some tension there. He's like, you got my brother killed with your bucket ball.
Yeah, classic husband of the therapist in the therapy session.
Oh, no. Well, no, you need somewhere like, else. The therapy sessions are like, he goes to visit his wife at her therapy office, and then as he's coming out, he runs into Bill Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what are you doing here, you piece of shit?
Obviously, I'm trying to work through stuff. You know?
Yeah, we can make that seem real weird.
Seeing a therapist.
Yeah, if we want Carrie Elwes, and in the movie, what's his last, hold on, I have the thing. The character, Carrie Elwes' character's name was Dr. Jonas Miller. Okay, so maybe his brother is Dr. Jonas Miller, but the S is a 2. His parents were weird. But whatever. So it's Carrie Elwes 2, his twin brother, married to the therapist that Bill Paxton has to see because of the Twister involvement and also his poor relationship with Helen Hunt, who is now an adrenaline junkie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's how you get the audience in, because he's gonna just do all the exposition in those therapy sessions.
Yes. Oh, perfect. See? Yeah. See? We don't need time travel yet. We don't need time travel at all. We make an actual movie first. I don't know now, though. I don't know what happens in the movie. I don't want it to just be about Bill Paxton getting therapy. Got to involve Twister somehow.
Yeah, I keep wanting to go sci-fi and crazy so early. I'm just Okay, well, how about, okay. So they're in therapy, you know, and how about a tornado attacks Dr. Jonas Miller's parents' house?
Oh, tornadoes have taken everything from Cary Elwes's twin brother now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
If Bill Paxton is the only, and Helen Hunt are the only two that can save his parents' house from that tornado. It's heading straight for it.
Okay, yeah. All right. And what so, is yeah. What did Cary Elwes was he was another storm chaser. So what's his brother do? Like, what's his profession? Because I don't think this therapist would marry another storm chaser unless that's like, does she have like a type and it's just storm chaser?
I want to say fourth grade teacher.
Okay, that it feels weird to make him the bad guy then when he runs into Bill Paxton.
He's not a bad guy. He's hurt. This guy's emotions.
I mean, I don't think he's hurt, though. He just runs into a guy his wife used to date, and he's like, what are you doing here, you piece of shit? That feels weird to then be like, I gotta go to my fucking fourth grade class, you piece of shit. Enjoy your therapy, asshole. Like,
fine, I guess.
I'm coming around, because on the other hand, it gives that character a lot of color, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty interesting.
We can cut to scenes where he's like, really... really having a great time with the students.
Oh, no! He's got to teach them about weather. And that's more exposition about tornadoes we can do.
Oh, no, on the way to his parents' house, the bus full of kids on a field trip is almost getting sucked up by a tornado.
That's perfect, Jeff. Oh, man. See, you're doing all the... All I said was you can't do time travel, and now you've built, like, a full real movie.
The stakes are high. This bus really can't go under 55 miles an hour or it'll get sucked up by a tornado.
So, oh yeah, they're running away from it.
Yeah,
is he on the bus or?
I think so, and I think he calls his wife to tell her, like, listen, you know, it's really, I might not make it out of this, and she's like in the middle of a therapy session with Bill Paxton, you know, and
he's sending her texts. Yeah, so she's like, oh, that's just my phone. We're in a session. I'll ignore it. Yeah. But then she glances down and sees he sent her a bunch of tornado emojis.
Yeah,
and she goes, wait a minute. And then he looks over. Maybe Bill Paxton grabs the phone because he's kind of, maybe he's a rude piece of shit, you know, just really entitled. I don't know. I don't remember Twister.
yeah. So that would. I like that. I like that. So, yeah. And then.
So Bill Paxton has to guide Helen Hunt, who's in a plane. Mm-hmm. She was about to do skydive.
Yeah. She has to. She needs that adrenaline.
And so what she has to do is use things on the plane to make a bucket full of balls to destroy the tornado. Yeah. Bill Paxton's refined his idea, but people still don't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, no, a bucket full of balls is for sensing tornado information, not destroying them.
Yeah.
Destroying tornadoes is a power not meant to be held by mankind. But he's convinced they can do it. So he's got to talk her through it, his crazy theory. Then him and the therapist get in a car and they're driving to the parents' house too.
Mm-hmm.
That's where everybody's gonna have a big. We'll have a big party at the end.
Yeah.
Show everybody everything's okay.
Yeah.
Helen has a skydive into the tornado. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to destroy it.
Yeah.
You know, and then right before she destroys it, you can see like the rear wheels of the bus kind of levitating off the ground. It's getting like pulled back in.
Yeah. And then, definitely.
Yeah.
Really put those kids in danger. Yeah.
Yeah. The stakes have to be so real, so high.
So high. Maybe one of the kids remembers an important thing about tornadoes from the lessons that Cary Elwes too was giving them.
Yeah.
And then he reminds Cary Elwes of that, and then Cary Elwes texts his wife, who reminds Bill Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
Who tells Helen Hunt. It's like a whole that'll be a whole scene.
I want to say, like, she's missing for, like, a good 10 minutes after she blows up the tornado, and they're all at Dr. Jonas Miller's parents' house.
Yeah.
And there was a barbecue planned anyway, so there's food and stuff there, so they're, like, you know, they're kind of, like, recapping, and be like, wow. And I want to see her, like, just, you see her as they're talking about, oh my God, she's gone. And just, like, parachuting in, and then just landing, jumping, then disconnecting the parachute.
Yeah.
Like, what did I miss, you know?
And all the kids cheer.
Yeah. And a couple of the grown-ups laugh. One of them gives one of those looks like, you crazy, you know that?
Yeah.
Like that look?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they'll all know her from knowing Cary Elwes' twin brother who died, who was raptured by a tornado.
Well, she's a famous storm chaser. I mean, she helped develop the bucket of balls.
Definitely, yeah. And maybe also at the party scene, Bill Paxton and Carrie Elwes, they have that moment where they can like come to terms and they do a firm handshake.
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows, like, no.
Yeah.
No, we're friends now.
Yeah.
Boom, credits. Wow. This is a great movie. I'd watch that. I'd watch that right after watching Twister to remind myself who these people are and what they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate to ask this. Can Twister 3, can we start getting some sci-fi elements in? Or?
Well, now that they have a device that destroys tornadoes, I think all bets are off. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, I don't know. I was going to say Twister 3 could be, so Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton, they're remarried, you know, they're over their issues, or they've come to terms with it. They've got kids now. Turns out the kids got the tornado shining too, but maybe a little stronger. They can control them consciously, right? And it can be the kids in fourth grade. He's Carrie Elwes' class.
He's getting bullied.
He's getting bullied, and he throws a kid into the wall with wind.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bald man in a wheelchair comes up. No.
I want to say, yeah.
Mm. Oh, not only can they sense, their kids sense and control tornadoes, they can feel someone building a weather machine.
Ooh.
Someone knows about their tornado destroying device, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is building a better one, maybe to make tornadoes. It's like a military thing.
Military controllable tornadoes. That was the one element they were missing. They were learning how to create tornadoes, ones that can't be destroyed by the bucket of balls. But they're like, how do we, you know, just are able to control these tornadoes reliably? You know what I mean? Because we can set up weather conditions, but something in their test, you know, it's always like, oh, you know, right at the end or some, it always blows up in their face. They're trying to get ready, you know?
Yeah.
And then they see this fourth grade kid that's controlling tornadoes and wins. They pick up on it. That's the missing link, you know?
Maybe one of their old storm chaser friends from the first movie now works on this project, right?
Oh yeah.
Or he was working on, maybe it's Joey Slotnick, right?
Yeah.
What's he doing lately? Nothing. He's in Twister 3.
Yeah.
Or Twist 3-er. He was working on like a startup.
Yeah.
To do like, it was like a climate change thing, right?
Ooh.
Like, oh no, we can set up wind conditions to bring water, like rain to, you know, the West Coast, which desperately needs it right now. His startup was bought out by a big tech company that's like a military contractor now, and they're using his research. So he's like visiting Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton.
Mm.
And then he sees their kid like doing wind stuff. And he's like, whoa, your kid's an X-Man or whatever. We probably don't have the rights to that, but.
Wow. Somehow your kid's DNA was mutated to be able to control wind.
That's so stupid. Okay, well, what happens then? Just a traditional, the government wants these kids?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's either going to be they have to stop the government from taking the kid, or the government takes the kid and they got to get it back. And so they're going to have to use some sort of...
Well, not the government. It would be this military, this corporation, this private contractor. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. And so they're going to have to use some sort of mind control or hypnosis on the kid to get the kid to do what they want, you know? Maybe they trick the kid into thinking it's a video game or something.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And then Helen Hunt's got to recruit somebody to help them get their kids back.
Well, at the end of 2, remember, Philip Seymour Hoffman and her dad came back to life.
That's right. That's right.
Those came down from heaven. Yeah.
Those would be the people you're least expecting.
Yeah.
Because right? They think they're both dead. Long dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, okay.
So how do they how do they come in, though? Is it like... They got to make a cool entrance, of course.
Yeah, something about parents and kids, because it's her dad and her kid is missing, you know?
Yeah. She's like, oh, no, I knew what it was like to be an adult woman whose mm-hmm. father was raptured by a tornado. I don't want my kids to grow up without us, Bill Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
We're their parents. We should be there for them. And then there's a voice from the door.
Yeah.
Of her dad going, I agree completely. And then it's Philip Seymour Hoffman's just behind him. He's just there. He doesn't have anything to say because it's like a family moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And
like, see, I was yeah. sent back.
Yeah.
Like Gandalf.
Yeah. Sent back.
We're tornado wizards. Oh, yes. <There's>
yeah, he learned his history of his family. They're. It lays dormant like Teen Wolf. It skips a generation. Sorry, I had to create that tornado. I needed to get away from your mom. It was the only way.
There's a lot of things about this you don't understand yet.
Yeah.
Your son's got a gift. Your son's got a gift.
Yeah.
And I don't want him to get raptured up like I did.
Yeah.
And they go to
like,
back.
Yeah, they go to their old farm where the only building standing is like an airplane hangar for like crop dusting. But he goes in there and he like, you know, hits a false panel or something. There's all kinds of guns. Maybe a cooler plane, you know.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, her dad is like an assassin for tornadoes.
Yeah.
Okay. Another unexpected turn. Her dad sounds interesting. Now, I'd like a prequel. Let's just put a pin in that. A prequel like a like a Rocketeer style, like.
Oh yeah.
maybe just her dad is the Rocketeer. Yeah. It was never the backpack. It was always tornado mutant power.
It's quite a family. It's quite a family. yeah. And they've got to miniaturize the bucket of balls tech so they can all basically go into. Go into this facility strapped with these portable things, like maybe like a backpack.
Yeah, they've got tornado backpacks. Yeah. That basically are the Rocketeer backpacks, but they expel tornadoes out the back that lift you into the air. Yeah. Small tornadoes, of course, but... Yeah and maybe, like, they're talking about, like, well, if we had smaller versions of this bucket full of balls. Bill mm-hmm. Paxton's like, well, I've got prototypes. I've been working on a design.
Yeah.
And Philip Seymour Hoffman kind of nods knowing. He's like, I can help you finish it up. Because, you know.
Because I've been inside a tornado.
Yeah.
I know what it's like.
I've been there. I've been to tornado heaven.
I was inside that tornado for 5 years before I got to heaven. 5 long years. You know?
I want to see a flashback there, too. Just him being flipped around in a tornado. Till he slowly learns to ride the winds. Yeah. He's the wind rider when he comes back. Yeah. That's he's like a human who didn't have the shining, but he learned the ways of the tornado. Yeah. And they fly
he's,
in, I
he's
guess.
He's yeah. tamed it. He keeps it in his garage.
Yeah, yeah. He's got like a tornado pet. Well, they're not so bad once you get to know them.
Ugh. Now that that bridge has been taken out, we're never going to get over to the compound. Bridges. And then he, like, does a loud whistle.
Yeah. So they fly into the government facility.
Yeah.
Like superheroes, I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe that bridge that they jumped was called the Shark. Just a subtle nod, you know.
Yeah.
They save the kids. Maybe, I feel like maybe the last showdown is between Helen Hunt and the guy that runs this contract, this corporation.
Yeah.
Because she's an adrenaline junkie, she uses her tornado powers to kill him. Just to see what it would feel like.
She tears him apart with a small tornado.
Yeah. Yeah. Just rips him to shreds.
Yeah. While talking about how you don't mess with people's kids.
Yeah.
She comes out. They're looking for her. Like, how are you okay? Because she's got blood on her. And she's like, yeah, but it's not her blood. It's the guy she tore apart with.
Yeah, the man she ripped into shreds with a miniature tornado.
It's time to go home.
And then they fly away. They all fly away on tornadoes.
Yeah. Bill Paxton doesn't find out till Twister 4. He sees the security cam footage of her just tearing apart that guy. Just so cool.
Yeah, she gets a taste for it, I think.
Yeah.
I think maybe other people come for their kids, and then just they disappear. And now there's like, that's the beginning of Twister 4. There's an investigation going on in their town because people have gone missing. And it's anyone who, like, the parents of that bully that was bullying their kid earlier. Yeah. That whole family just fucking disappears.
Yeah. We found, you know, we can find some body parts, but never a whole body.
Now, why
would this man's... Body parts are miles apart.
Yeah, I was gonna say, why would this man's shoe be 20 miles outside town? It doesn't make sense.
What is his hat doing in a tree three towns over? He didn't buy any plane tickets. So she's a murderer.
Maybe she's the villain of the fourth film, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we gotta get the new blood in. We got the kid with tornado powers, you know?
I mean, I don't know. I don't have ideas for that now. I liked our tight trilogy.
Yeah, that's good. I do want future tornadoes to be used, but now that they can control tornadoes.
Well, if they've got the Shining, sure. Mm-hmm. Or if you've got one of the backpacks, you could fly through a tornado. But
yeah, I suppose when you reboot it and you say like, you know, that family, most of the older people have died out, and the new kids are shunning their tornado powers. You can see, like, one of them in the future is sending back tornadoes to kind of
oh, yeah. Goat that's them the into fourth doing movie. Something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When it turns out Helen Hunt's been killing people, like, that sets her kids down a dark path, and they don't want to control tornadoes. They see what it does to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, I don't know why they missed this opportunity to franchise Twister, but...
Hollywood, give us a call.
Yeah, we're waiting, you know?
We'll make this movie on the cheap. This we can tie it into the Sharknado franchise.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how realistic the two soda bottle tornadoes look when you have a camera really close on them, you know?
So yeah.
Get to it pretty cheaply.
Real cheap.
Yeah.
All right, that's the last thing. No transitions, I guess.
Okay. I was wondering if we could... do something on ghosts. I personally don't believe in ghosts. I mean, I'm pretty sure you don't. I mean, you'd be surprised by some people though.
Oh, Jeff, ghosts definitely real, of course. Just like vampires and werewolves.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe in ghosts.
So what I thought we could do.
Or do I?
Is see
a little mystery for the listeners. You don't know. You get no idea.
We could read IMDb summaries of episodes of Ghost Hunters and decide whether or not the places they went were actually haunted.
And where see if we they were convinced. easy. I just whatever, if that was a game, I won it. Well, Jeff, where would this podcast be without Wikipedia and IMDb?
I don't know. I really don't know. Let me read the summary of episode one of Ghost Hunters to you, Sean, and we'll see if see if I can convince you that ghosts are real. Okay, now this was written by anonymous, so I would give credit. I just can't. Okay, right after Jason and Grant unclog a drain, they get a call from case manager Brian Harnois. He's fielded a report of an apparent poltergeist playing with and throwing a little girl's toys. The job is many miles away in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and Jason and Grant have to clear the trip with their wives and get time off from Roto-Rooter. Grant's wife, Rena, is upset but understands. Jason's wife, Chris, is getting fed up with this whole ghost hunting thing. In Altoona, the team sets up in a girl's room and in the attic. Donner interviews Brenda, the girl's mother, who asks the team to bless the house, whether it's haunted or not. Carl obliges. The team analyzes the data. While the camera found nothing, the digital recorders picked up an electronic voice phenomena, which, after being electrically processed, appears to be the voices of deceased children. One says, they don't want us. Another says, can I come in? Brenda's home seems to have a strong paranormal activity. She's thankful for the validation, for the team, the hard work, and the long drive has paid off.
That was too much.
It's too long? Too long.
It's too long. Why was there a first part about that they had to leave their jobs to do that?
From Roto-Rooter? I don't know.
Yeah, what? Why? What is...
I think since it's the first episode, the producers weren't quite sure that the ghost thing was going to hold up. So they wanted to get this other shit in there.
And what's the show called?
Ghost Hunters.
So they thought if the ghost part didn't pan out, they could pivot to a reality show about a pair of dudes who worked at Roto-Rooter.
Whose wives got mad when they were like, no, things are haunted, we're going to go look.
Well, okay, but that's, again, most people's wives. I'm assuming most significant others would be like, you're going to call out of work to go hunt ghosts. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I wish I had known this when we got together.
It's several hours away you're going to go. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You're going to set up in a girl's bedroom and the attic. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, at least someone will be there to film and broadcast it all.
How much do you think they spent on ghost-busting equipment? I'm sorry, not ghost-busting. They've never busted a ghost, from what I can tell.
Yeah, they hunt them.
They hunt them. Ghost-hunting equipment.
$40.
That's it.
I can't imagine ghost-hunting equipment costs very much.
I mean, but after... How much does it cost to electronically process audio? I mean...
Just like a little voice recorder thing?
Well, the digital recorders picked it up, but then it had to be processed so they could get those, to hear those words.
Okay. So whatever a MacBook costs, right? It's like a grand.
Yeah, the initial investment.
Yeah, the initial investment of that, and then I guess the time, if you want to put a price on the amount of time they spent working out how to use, like, the programs that it comes with.
Yeah.
To quote unquote isolate the ghost voice.
Now, I know they went with like the reality TV show route, but I think they could have gotten just as much money if they decided they would also look for ghosts in houses they were roto-rooting, right? It's plumbing. So they'd have to go to haunted houses that had clogged drains. That way they get paid for the roto-rooting and they could look for ghosts. You know what I mean?
I don't. They did that?
No, I'm saying they should have.
Oh. Well, First of all, if you believe in ghosts, then they're just everywhere. Like most people with firm beliefs in the supernatural. Yeah. It fills in the blanks for you, basically.
Yeah.
And you see them everywhere.
Okay.
Or you think they're everywhere. So then just any house they went to with a clogged toilet or whatever, like a clogged drain.
Has ghosts.
Probably had ghosts, yeah. But I don't think that they could just be like, hey, so we unclogged that drain, and also we took like a bunch of audio recordings without your permission in your house, and we just like to ask after the fact if we can try to isolate ghost voices when we illegally recorded everything that was happening. Is that cool?
I noticed when I walked through your kitchen to get to your bathroom that there was a draft. Now, do you ever see apparitions? Because this place may be haunted. And for an extra $39.95... I'll hunt these ghosts and play back video or audio that might look like there may have been a ghost there. Does that sound good?
This is, please listen to me. This is so important. We will not bust these ghosts, okay? We are not the Ghostbusters. We are not associated with the Ghostbusters. We will hunt them and identify them just so that you know that they're there. And then we will leave.
Yeah. Just so that you don't, because you probably feel crazy, right? Because of this draft.
Mm-hmm.
I want to validate these feelings. I want you to know that someone with like a little thing that buzzes and clicks and I move around, I also see it. and that's scientifically now proven that you have a ghost. How's that sound? Sounds like it'd be worth a recurring subscription of $49.95 for us to come out here monthly and say, yeah, there's definitely still a ghost here.
Is that a service they provide?
No, but they should.
That is a great idea. Because if you get, if you get someone who believes in ghosts...
Get them on the hook.
They're just everywhere. So, like, if you're selling it, like, what you got here is a Class 2 Phantom. Pretty common houses of this age, you know, built in the 80s.
Yeah.
You're going to have at least a Class 2 Phantom, you know?
I see it all the time. You're probably fed up at work now, huh?
Yep. Yeah, boss giving you trouble? Yes. Yeah, they decenter your ghostliness. Yeah. Your whole spirit's off.
Yeah.
You link up with, like, someone who does crystal magic, you know?
And listen, we got a great... This package, this next package up, comes with a monthly delivery of sage.
Yeah.
You don't have to leave the house.
I can bind the ghost, sure. He won't give you trouble, but... But your chakras are going to be misaligned, and I can recommend you a crystal person. Really get your chakras back in line. Kind of keep apparitions and phantoms, all the ghosts and ghoulies from getting you.
You're going to need more hanging lights or, like, fans, because right now they got a clear flight path right through your house, right from the living room all the way to the bedroom. They can just all night, just going to keep you up. You could put a couple things in the way, like I'll slow them down.
Now, I don't want to paint everybody who believes in ghosts as gullible fool.
Of course not.
But I think that there's enough gullible fools who believe in ghosts that, like, instead of... I don't think Roto-Rooter is going to want to pair up with this, you know?
You're saying we need a different kind of sponsor.
Well, I'm thinking, like, aren't there, like, what's the company that keeps bugs out your house? Like, that's the same Orkin? Thing.
Oh, Orkin. Yeah.
That's the same thing, right?
But to be clear, they're not busting these ghosts.
That we do not bust ghosts. Okay? First of all, miss, ghost busting is a pejorative term, okay?
Now, to be clear, now we've been around your neighborhood. We got a lot of families out here using our services. We do not bust these ghosts.
No.
We are clearly just finding these ghosts. Add in the sage that protects their home. It does not bust the ghost. So the more people in your neighborhood taking advantage of our services means that there's more likely that there's going to be what we call homeless ghosts in your area. And they're going to find whatever house they can.
We did also make both of our characters sound vaguely Southern. And there are a lot of haunted houses, quote unquote, wink, wink, in New England, so... But I don't you got a bunch of fucking ghosts up in here, buddy. Like, it doesn't have the same ring, right? I don't know what it is. Busting ghosts? No, we don't bust ghosts, buddy. We don't bust ghosts. Listen to this guy thinking we bust ghosts. No, we don't bust them.
Busting ghosts. Is this the movie? Are we in a movie right now? Am I going to turn around and Matt Damon's going to be here? No, we don't bust any ghosts. I can't do a Boston accent. I only reference Boston actors. That's it. Okay? And LA, a bizarre.
How do you like them spirits?
Oh, this place wicked haunted. It's fucking gross. It's almost as bad as that Dunkin' Donuts down the road. Had five phantoms. Five.
Oh, buddy, your house is like freaking wicked haunted, bro. Oh, yeah, I've never seen apparitions like this.
Oh, my God.
I'd watch this show, too. This just feels like an outreach of the reinventing a movie, but I would watch exaggerated New England guys.
You feel that? In the back of my neck, I felt a chill. Freaking weird.
You felt the chill, I'm sure. Yeah, all right, okay.
Oh, look out, there's a phantom. Boom, nut tap. You see that? I wasn't even touching it. My Dunkin' Donuts cup moved. Just moved, just a little bit, slightly. Fucking creepy.
Oh, bro, where'd you get that Dunks, man? Because I was in a Dunks the other day. I got to chill. I the whole place was friggin' wicked haunted. I told the owner he didn't want nothing to do with it.
And guys, listen, I know she's still alive, but I feel like my apartment is fucking haunted by my ex Brenda, that bitch. Is that Boston? I can't do a Boston accent, I don't think.
It doesn't matter. It's just better than the southern one. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that Oregon should pair with them, right? You just boom.
Pest and ghost control. Yeah, these freaking things are going to hide in your walls. You got to get them out of there.
They just like for like even just for like a nominal fee, like when they, you know, they have like the like sprays, or they'll do like they'll smoke stuff out. They'll have like that thick mist that they can spray places sometimes. We put a little holy water in.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that much extra, but we put a little holy water in. It kind of, you know, hey, listen, it does not bust the ghosts.
It's completely up to you. Listen, we got these little hooks. You put them on your doors, your cabinets. They're ghost proof. You know, ghosts just out opening these fucking cabinets there. You put these in, no more problems. They get frustrated. They can't undo them.
First of all, Jeff, that's a great idea, and you should actually make that product and sell it, because people would fucking buy it. Does this ever happen to you? You walk into your kitchen, and all your drawers and cabinets are open and shining real fast, and your cutlery cups are going everywhere. You got ghosts, buddy. But not no more. With Jeff Boudreaux, you're going to need a name for it. We need a catchy name for it. We'll table that. That's fine.
Ghost Lodge.
What I'm thinking is the idea, we don't bust the ghosts. And no. That's very, I don't know, it's very funny to keep saying. And I'm going to say it in my day-to-day life, and no one's going to know what I'm talking about.
We don't bust ghosts. I need to be very clear.
Ghosts. We do not bust ghosts. But
can't tell you how many people say, you never busted the ghost. I never said I was busting any ghosts.
For people who believe in ghosts, they don't want the ghost busted.
Right.
You want the ghost around, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you believe that the ghost exists and it's like doing its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So really, the whole thing is like ghost just like cleansing, basically. Like you calm the ghost, you soothe the ghost. It doesn't bother you anymore. It's still here. We're catering to your belief in ghosts. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're also extracting some money from you to quote unquote calm it or soothe it.
Yeah. Okay, you can cancel your plan, but I hate to see something happen in your house where all these phantoms start messing things up. Throwing all your dishes around, flickering the lights on and off, maybe haunting your kid. It's fine.
Your in-laws are coming over, but all your cutlery and your cups are flying around the kitchen. Oh no. Introducing Jeff Boudreaux's Spirit Lock. Add it to your cabinets. Add it to your drawers. Ghosts can't open them anymore. Keep your forks and knives where they belong.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit Lock. Just three easy payments of $39.99.
Put yourself back in control of your kitchen.
They were blessed by an exorcist. They each have a little vial of holy water in it.
Yeah, you're gonna at least once a month. I'm gonna need you to dab holy water in some of these high activity areas. It doesn't bust anything, but kind of keeps them, you know, out of your way.
You just cleanse the house.
Yeah.
Anyway, several great product ideas, an excellent show idea, some just fascinating characters. Oh, yeah, Roto-Rooter? Yeah, I still got some friends there. But I don't work there anymore. I hunt ghosts. I don't bust them.
They fired me months ago. They said it was not about hunting of ghosts. But I could tell.
They fired me for trying to record in people's private homes. I'm just listening for ghost talk. Okay. This has been the heads up. Well, I don't, is there something else you wanted to do?
No, I just like how you're like, okay, it's over.
This is how I leave places too. I just get up and leave. I mean, do I need a long extended goodbye if I'm going to see you again? No, I don't. No.
Let's make it happen. You know,
let's make it happen. Yeah.
Share your ghost stories with us at Heads Up on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh yeah, you get like a whole thing. Yeah, don't. Well, yeah, do that. I don't check them. I don't care.
Yeah, share your ghost stories with us. Headsuppod@gmail.com.
Kind of sucked to be a ghost, though, huh?
I mean, in the way we're perceiving ghosts or the stories we hear, yeah.
It's probably nice to be indoors all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about bugs, unless there's ghost bugs, which is another whole nightmare. Another great pairing for Orkin. I guess you just, like, hang out the whole time and watch people. That sounds awful.
Yeah, and pretty boring.
Yeah.
I guess you could maybe control TV. I don't know, but it seems unlikely.
It does seem unlikely.
Maybe there's fun shit to do, but it seems like is everybody who dies become a ghost? Because
yeah, a lot
of fucking people have died, and it's got to be crowded.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It'd be fine if you could, like, watch TV, play video games, and read books. So, like, being a ghost is just, like, being retired, and, like, recreational living. Like, yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah. Doesn't seem it.
That's why so many libraries and theaters are haunted, you know?
That's a great point, too. You can add that to the pitch.
A lot of entertainment spaces.
Yeah.
Are you losing business because of ghosts? Not no more. And then, you know, whatever phone number we have.
Yeah. I don't know. What you should have done right there is just give up Brett's cell phone number.
Call us today. And if we don't answer or say we don't hunt ghosts, call again. We do it.
Since we don't bust them, sometimes they haunt our phones. Yeah. What else? You get the other things in there.
Oh, that's it. No. Email?
Okay. All right.
Yeah. You know, it's not that important. Email.
I agree. Yeah.
Look for the t-shirt. We don't bust ghosts. But yeah, that's fine.
This has been the Heads Up Podcast with Jeff and Sean. I'm Sean.
I'm Jeff.
And we're popping off.
Toodles.
The important thing is that I was right about a movie thing.